It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem.
A great afternoon to everyone in Los Angeles and everyone listening on the Armed Forces Network throughout the world. I am Alan Gervie, and this is Gervie's Law. I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, which is a workers' compensation law firm. And I am here, as usual, to be the managing partner of your life. Because a lot of you out there actually need a managing partner. I have a partner with me sitting in the studio at Talk Radio 790 KBC on a beautiful, hot Saturday afternoon. And my partner in crime is none other than Kerry Kasem. Yay, Kerry.
Yay. I think it's an understatement with hot. It's finally summer. It's finally here. I live in the Valley, and It's like an oven when you walk outside. It's like a little oven.
It is.
I've even let the stray cat in because I feel terrible.
You are a friend of cats.
I am.
So let's not talk about the weather for a second. Let's just talk about what I did yesterday because it was hot, but I finally did it, Kerry.
What?
The seminar.
Oh, yes, of course. Of course, the seminar.
The seminar was how to settle your cases in workers' compensation. I did it for Work Comp Central. We had an outstanding turnout. It was a fun-filled day with lots of information about settling cases that people take for granted but don't realize that it is an art of settling. And I know you, Kerry, you do not settle because we've talked about it before, and you are not the settling type.
I am not the settling type, but what we were talking about that day, there were certain things that I understood that you do settle for, so I get it. But in life and in general, no, I don't settle.
Well, I'll tell you, I can make a lot of people happy by settling cases, especially if you're injured on the job. Call me at, I don't even know the phone number. Last week I said a phone number that didn't exist.
Are you serious? Did you really?
It doesn't matter. Look me up on the web. rgwlawfirm.com. It's Alan Gervie. Google that guy and see what you see. Applicant Attorney of the Year from last year for Work Comp Central. Wow, isn't that impressive?
Pretty impressive, especially I think you were on vacation when they gave you an award.
I was on vacation, that's true. This is how much I think about awards. I never accept them. I'm out there for the people.
You send your office.
I send my office. I do what I can. And, you know, I'll tell you something. I was born a man, and I still believe I'm a man. But unfortunately, that's not the case with everyone who, has some issues with identity. Do you have any identity issues?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But, I went to school with a man who was transgender, who then, you know, made his way into being a woman.
Right.
I have a friend who is a... I don't want to say something, but a transvestite. And
we're
I don't
not
know if that is. No, I know, but somebody who really feels more feminine, but
folks,
is not made.
I got to tell you, Kerry is tripping all over her
tongue. I
don't
know what's politically correct.
And that's what this.
She's like, no.
Bring your tone down a little bit. When you get excited, your pitch goes really high. Bring it down an octave. Yes, people. This is the show of law and life, and being transgender is part of life.
Well, my friend Mike dresses as a woman. He keeps that life very secret, and that's why I'm not saying his real name. But he keeps that life very, very secret, and I don't know if he would be transgender if he would, if he could. But he feels more like a woman, and he goes out dressed like a woman. And
well,
he goes
we're
going to
learn a lot about it. I know it's tough for people who do not have this dysphoria or this identity crisis with gender. They have a tough time wrapping their minds around this. So we're going to shed some light from a legal perspective as well as a psychological perspective. Kerry, there were a couple of articles this week that were of particular importance to this subject and to the law. The first one was about two parents who are suing doctors for deciding that their kid is a girl. Now, this is a South Carolina company, and their child, who they adopted, was born intersex. Do you know what intersex means?
Meaning having both sexes.
No, genitalia we talk about.
Right.
Both sex is a different thing. You can have two different sexes, and that may be, you know, something of an
that's
act.
That's what I'm thinking. You have a penis and you have a vagina.
I only have one of those, but yes, one who has a penis and a vagina or parts thereof interspersed together are called intersex, and it is a huge, huge issue that people don't understand. In fact, some estimates say that one out of 2,000 babies are believed to be born intersex. So the question becomes, what do you do under those circumstances? For the most part, you have a surgery which will create one identity, one gender, as opposed to the other, while the baby is probably within its first year, year and a half of life. And what this lawsuit is all about is the Crawfords, who are the parents in South Carolina, have determined that their child now, who I believe is about, 10 years old or 12 years old, identifies as a male, but it was chosen that he would be a female when he was born through the surgery.
This has happened throughout history. I've read many cases on this, and this isn't the first. And I don't understand why you don't let the child grow up. Or if there's a test, you know, for, you know, if there's a male chromosome or, you know, the female. But you should let the child grow up and the child should choose.
Well, interestingly, the hormone levels apparently that were tested when this child was a baby showed that he was a male baby. But for some reason, they went ahead and made him a girl. Mm-hmm. And to direct our attention at your question, which is an excellent question, Carrie, New York Times Chief Pediatrics of Urology of the University of California reports, this guy named Larry Baskin says the following: there haven't been any studies that would support doing nothing. That would be an experiment. Don't do anything and see what happens when the kid's a teenager. That could be good, and then it could also be the worst thing that you could do without intervention.
I'm not sure why that would be bad. May not even need to get to being a teenager, Alan.
But
they
could
maybe be 6 or 7 and you're going to know.
You don't think it would be bad for someone to have both genitalia growing up in their formative years?
You know
years?
What's worse is having my penis cut off and being a man. And I mean, that's worse.
I'm just crossing my legs right now as you're speaking. But the point being is it's a real tough one.
Yeah.
And the law is going to be tested because the Crawfords are saying that it was mutilation, that their daughter was mutilated when he was a child, a baby, when they chose the sex for her, when he identifies with being a boy.
Right.
And I'm not sure how the courts are going to rule on that, but we are going to keep updated because this intersex issue is really important. It is not only a legal issue, but of course it's a moral issue. Should we be, quote unquote, mutilating in order to make a decision for a child or baby who doesn't have the opportunity to make that decision on his or her own? And then conversely, will that child ever be able to make that decision? And that's what we're going to talk about today, folks. We're going to talk about transgender. We're going to talk about whether this is real or whether this is a psychiatric issue that has no place whatsoever in the law or otherwise, and people who are transgenders are only is only a result of a psychiatric problem. Do you believe that, Carrie?
No, I believe it's you're born that way. I don't believe your body tells you what you are or not. I believe you're a spiritual being having a human experience. And if that spiritual being comes and identifies with being a female and you're in a male body, you're a female. That's how I feel. I truly feel that and I believe that.
Well, we're going to hear from the experts because this is something that I have done very little study in. And a lot of people are very emotional about it. Our experts today are Diane Goodman, who's an attorney with the Law and Mediation Office of with Diane Goodman, and she is an expert on family law and deals specifically with transgender issues. As well, we have Casey Weitzman, who is a family marriage therapist, and she's the president of Gender Wellness of Los Angeles. She, too, deals extensively with transgender. So you're going to learn a lot from these two people. We posted on Facebook, and of course, this is a very controversial subject. If you go to our Facebook page, Gervie's Law, you will find some of the comments. Carrie, what did people say about our show on transgenders and the law today?
Some people just weren't happy, and I just think this deals with being educated and awareness. But, you know, there was one that said, there should be American soldiers we should be congratulating on this magazines, on the magazines for their duty, not this. And there were because there were two transgender women.
Right, Caitlyn Jenner.
And the woman from, who I adore.
Orange is the New Blonde.
Yeah, I love her. And then it says, people who risk their lives should be on the covers. And another guy said, who gives a, and then...
Bleep.
Yeah.
Okay, well, apparently that's how people think. Carrie, you
two
know...
Two people think. There's a lot more, I think, awareness now.
But, you know, the issue is, and the first person brings up a legitimate issue. Caitlyn Jenner was awarded the Courageous Person of the Year by the ESPYs on ESPN, and a lot of people found that problematic because they think there are people, soldiers, for instance, who go off to war, people suffering from cancer, children who are suffering with horrible, horrible diseases, people who are suffering in pain every day.
But this was the ESPYs, and this was people who are in sports. And there were other people that were amazing contenders, like the woman with cancer who was playing basketball. I get that. This is a man who won an Olympic gold medal, a man who lived his entire life as a man, who at 65 years old said, this has not been me.
So
there's nothing more courageous.
Why isn't he doing that in the privacy of his own home? Why does he need to come out on the ESPYs and be this hero?
He didn't make the choice to get the award.
He accepted it.
He didn't make that choice, Alan.
Why didn't he say someone is suffering in pain and they're the real heroes? We will find out and we'll talk about that more. We're also going to talk about, believe it or not, and folks, listen very carefully, in California, it's the first nation to agree to pay for a transgender inmate sex reassignment operation. That's right. Rodney, who was convicted in 1980 of murder and has no parole, life sentence without parole, has just been given the cash to change sexes to a female, Shiloh Quine, or Queen. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Carrie, I need some help here. And we will talk about this article. It was in the LA Times August 10th, and it is controversial. Should an inmate who has killed someone be able to get public support to change genders? You don't want to miss this show if you have any comments. Well, we welcome them right here at Gervie's Law, 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222-222. And that's enough of twos. We'll see you after this break.
Coming up on The Next Drive Home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, it's Monday. That means Donald Trump had two full days to start a feud with somebody else.
I love it. It's the Donald Trump one-man tour. Where can I get tickets?
Live and local, right here. After Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, We are back right here at Gervie's Law and Talk Radio 790 KABC. I am the man of the hour, Alan Gervie, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn. And across from me is the beautiful and talented and intelligent Carrie Kasem, talking about a very controversial subject that really needs to get out, because I don't really appreciate that Facebook comment that says, who gives a bleep? Because we all need to give a bleep. We're all human beings here, right, Carrie?
I agree. I absolutely agree. I think there's not, you know, it's like this is, there's so much awareness now, and I think there's a lot more understanding and accepting, I really do, than, you know, look, I mean, people are fascinated by, I'm fascinated by Caitlyn Jenner, fascinated. I watch her stuff, I read her stuff, I look at the pictures, I'm so fascinated. I when I saw her give her speech, I cried. I just think that now's the time to start accepting people for who they are. This person doesn't hurt anybody. This person's not hurting anybody by doing that.
Absolutely. My mom actually says that she has a television show now that she's describing.
Yeah, I'm watching.
You're watching what she's going through. So, you know, we don't know if people are exploiting it or not. I think there's two different issues here. And one is, do people have the right to do this? Of course. And the other is, should we be discriminating, or should there be no discrimination based on what it is? And we're going to tie this all together with the legal issues and the psychological issues. We're really proud to have on Gervie's Law today, Diane Goodman, who is with the Law and Mediation Offices of Diane Goodman in Encino, California. She's at goodmanmediation.com. She's an attorney who focuses in family law issues and has a special expertise in transgender issues. As well, we have with us Casey Weitzman, who is the president of Gender Wellness of Los Angeles. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist and has been working with the transgender community for 20 years now. Welcome to both of you to Gervie's Law.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
First of all, before we get into some real legal issues, before the break, Carrie and I were discussing this issue of the California prisoner, once known as Rodney, now known as Shiloh, who recently was given money by the state to pay for reassignment operation. Let's ask Diane first. What is your opinion of this? Should the state be paying for a reassignment operation for this prisoner who murdered someone and is serving a life sentence without parole?
Well, the state has an obligation to provide medical care for all inmates, including transgender inmates, and sex reassignment surgery or hormone treatment or whatever other procedures are medically necessary, and the state then has an obligation to provide them.
You know, in fact, let me tell you this, Diane, that apparently there were a lot of doctors who evaluated Shiloh, and the consensus was that every medical doctor and mental health clinician who reviewed the case, including two independent mental health experts, determined that this surgery is medically necessary. It's not elective, it's medically necessary. Turning to Casey, why would a surgery be medically necessary from a medical, psychological, therapist perspective?
Because it's really, for her, it's like life or death, that this would improve the quality of her life, even as a prisoner. So it's almost like no choice.
But there's two different things that you just said, yeah. Because this is bothering me. What Casey just said, you said it's like life or death, and it would improve her life. Which one is it? Life or death, or improve life? Because that's a big distinction that legally we need to look at.
Well, I'd like to go back to just say it's medically necessary, that she was born, you know, I don't want to say in the wrong body, but she is a girl, and as a girl, this surgery would make it congruent for her.
Now, here's my thing. I just feel like because she's done so much harm to the community and she's killed somebody and she's you know, she's got a record. I just feel like if somebody's got cancer and you've killed people, rot. That's my feeling. I don't care if you're a guy or girl. I don't feel that we should be giving treatment to people who are murderers. That's my feeling. I know that this does go to law. You have to take care of the prisoners. You have to give them medication. If there was something like somebody had a rash all over their body, right? And it looked awful and it was horrible, but they couldn't get rid of it. But it would cost $100,000 to go through laser treatments and this stuff, but it was going to cost the taxpayers. It's not going to kill the person. I feel like the reassignment surgery, yes, is necessary. Yes, she should have thought about this beforehand. That's what I'm feeling.
Before when?
Before, I mean...
In 1980? Maybe she didn't know.
Do something about it. But she's a criminal. She killed somebody.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Why do we have to pay for her sex reassignment? It's not going to kill her. Now, Casey, explain this to me. Yes, I know. Casey's my dad's name. So, Casey... explain why it's life or death. That's what I want to know, because if it really is and you can convince me of life or death, I understand. But I still feel like if somebody takes a life, why are we doing something to improve their life?
Well, and before you do that, because I'm going to ask Diane, what do we give up? And I know you're not an expert in criminal law, but what does a criminal give up in terms of rights when we talk about this issue when you are convicted of a crime? Do you give up rights? Casey first.
Okay, so again... since I'm not the law part, I won't respond to that. But as far as medical necessity, which is something that we have worked as an organization, as a big organization called WPATH, we see it as like being diabetic, heart disease, cancer. So it's being treated in the same, in the same way as any of those things.
So would it though, if she lived in the man's body that she's in now, would that kill her? Would she take her life? Would it be so depressing that she would die?
Well, that, again, since I'm not treating her, I couldn't answer that question.
I can answer it from reading the article. Apparently, she has attempted suicide a number of times.
Okay.
But the problem is that she hasn't succeeded. So Carrie's question is still a valid one.
Right.
The fact that someone attempts suicide but doesn't succeed, does that mean that it's life or death?
Yes, and the suicide rate for the transgender community is so much higher than for other inmates.
Go ahead, Diane.
So first thing is, we have laws against cruel and unusual punishment in the United States and in California. And just because you're in prison doesn't mean you've given up all of your rights. You've given up your right to vote. You've given up your right to freedom. But it doesn't mean you've given up your right to appropriate medical care. And if it's medically necessary medical care, you have a right to that. And in fact, because LA County has been not so good at providing medical care, for example, we have federal oversight of our prisons our California prisons just finally cleaned up enough that they don't have federal oversight anymore. I'm not positive. LA County now has federal oversight for mental health care. And I think you need to look at the mental health of these prisoners and how much more expensive it is for the state to care for prisoners who are constantly trying to commit suicide than having a mentally more emotionally stable prisoner who can function within the prison system is going to cost the government less in providing services to that person.
And I think the key point you make is the interpretation of the Eighth Amendment, which is the cruel and unusual punishment. It becomes a factual thing, and we have a lot of people here who understand that there are two sides to the story. We have Mike on the line in Marina. Mike, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thanks. It's great pleasure to be on with y'all. It just seems like, can we take any more money of, I can't work anymore. there's no penalty for doing anything wrong. I'm trying to tell my kids, you can't do that. You can get in trouble. And then you lose your freedoms.
So, Mike, what you're saying then is that you don't believe that Shiloh should have the right to take the state's money because she gave up the right to get this sex change, as we used to call it, operation. Is that right?
Correct. And I'd like to know if she was going to have this before she broke the law and ended up in prison. And the state's money is your money and my money. Democrats a lot of time talk about it as the state and the government's money. It's our money, and we only have so much. You can only work so many hours in a day to help pay the bills for these people that have, broken the law.
Mike, you make some great points, and thanks for calling Gervie's Law. We're up against the half-hour news, and we have a lot of people calling in now. Stay tuned for the second half hour of Gervie's Law right after this.
A computer glitch at a Federal Aviation Administration flight control center in Virginia has been fixed. Good news for thousands of East Coast airline passengers dealing with lengthy flight delays and grounded planes.
The problem prompted the FAA to temporarily halt flights from the Washington, D.C. area's three major airports. And while departures and landings have resumed, the backlog is huge and airline flights along the East Coast are still delayed. Travelers should check their flight status with their airline. I'm Ann Kate.
The five servicemen, four Marines, and one sailor killed in the Chattanooga shooting massacre last month were remembered this afternoon in a Chattanooga service. Defense Secretary Ash Carter making a solemn vow.
Violent extremists or terrorists, wherever they are, will surely, very surely, no matter how long it takes, come to feel the long arm and the hard fist of justice.
I'm Michael Toscano.
Dr. Drew's a big bully to me off the air.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
How so?
It's that he does the most denigrating thing ever. He does this. I'll go, Drew, what do you think about my theory about blah, 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 blah? He goes, yeah.
Oh, ow.
That's it. The chuckle and...
No, come on.
Dr. Drew, Midday Live with Psycho Mike Catherwood.
Weekdays, noon to 3 on KABC.
Imagine a store that lets you get anything you wanted. An HD flat-screen TV, a high-capacity, ultra-quiet washer and dryer, a complete living room set. And imagine if you didn't need a lick of credit to get it. That store simply believed in you. Imagine if they even delivered it, set it up, and serviced it at no additional cost. Well, that store exists. That's Rent-A-Center. Imagine that. No credit needed. Affordable payment plans. Delivery, setup, and service included. Imagine new possibilities at Rent-A-Center. Rental purchase transaction. See store for details.
If you have a lucky socket wrench, then CarQuest Auto Parts is for you. If you have more jack stands than your wife has shoes, then CarQuest is for you. That's because CarQuest Auto Parts is for those who really know and care about their car. And right now, a 14-ounce bottle of Gojo Orange Pumice Hand Cleaner is just $1.99. And a roll of Scott Pro Shop Towels is only $2.29. CarQuest is serious auto parts.
See participating source for details.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yes, you can make that call right now. We are heating up on Gervie's Law. Very controversial subject. We're talking about transgenders and the law. And we are fortunate today to have with us Diane Goodman, who is a lawyer and an expert in family law. She also spends a great deal of time with transgender issues. Her website is goodmanmediation.com, goodmanmediation.com. And then, of course, we have Casey Weitzman with us, and she is the president of Gender Wellness of Los Angeles. She can be found at genwell.org, and she is a therapist who deals with transgender issues as well. So before the break, and Carrie, you just love this topic.
I do.
You're about to interrupt me, and I don't mind being interrupted, so go ahead.
Well, I just was during the break, I was talking about, you know, because you said something, Casey, that, you know, I feel like you're born into the wrong body. You should be born into a woman's body if you feel that, or opposite, if you feel you were supposed to be a woman or supposed to be a man. And you said that's not necessarily how transgender people think about it.
Right. So now... It kind of evolves, but now what more people are considering is more about how to get the outside to match the inside. And so for everyone, it's become something different. It's not just A through Z anymore. Everyone's doing it differently.
But some people would say that's just perception, the outside matching the inside. Isn't the inside just perception, or is it something that's actually organic that can be tested and can be proven that a person is actually identified as a male because he is a male?
Well, that's a tricky question. Do you want to jump on that
one? Let me just share a story. I have a friend whose daughter, when she was 2 or 3, said to my son, I have a secret to tell you. I'm really a boy. And at 4, ran into the men's room at a theme park, and we had to send some man in to go get her out. And by 14, changed her gender to male. And so I think he would tell you that was always who he was, and he needed his outside appearance to fit his inside feelings. So
I'm sorry, I was just going to say, how does that fit with someone like Caitlyn Jenner? What about Bruce Jenner, the Olympic decathlete champion? He didn't seem to find that to be the case at 4 years old, like your example.
Well, I think this child grew up in a different era and grew up in Los Angeles and grew up with Children's Hospital that has a gender dysphoria program versus Caitlyn Jenner, who grew up in a different era where it wasn't okay to be gay, let alone to be transgender.
But people would say to that, Diane, that he did fine. He went through his life up to now, of course, and he survived. It wasn't life or death. It's not like this convict who says if she doesn't get the sex change, she will not be able to live.
But what I want to say is Caitlyn Jenner is a typical client that I see, that I can guarantee it that Caitlyn knew that something was wrong as early as 4 or 5 years old, for sure. But did everything in her power to not transition and was probably hoping that she could go to the grave not transitioning.
Right.
But all along, all those times that she was, training for the decathlon, this was a girl trapped in a boy's body.
And that's what you deal with when you talk to your clients about this.
Right. And almost 80-90% of my clients that are 50-60 years old will say it started as early as 4 or 5 years old.
But isn't that just, Carrie, one second, isn't that making the point, though, that this really isn't a life or death decision, that people can live, albeit a horrible existence, but they can live, and some of them may even be able to deal with it appropriately, just like some people deal with having ADHD or any other type of brain disorder.
It's a pretty miserable. I mean, I have clients that have never told a living soul until they've come into my office. They've never cross-dressed. They can't tell their wives. They can't tell their children. They can't tell their parents. And I mean, it's 62, 63 years old. So, I mean, are they suffering? Sure they are. Can they work and function? Sure, but there's always a lie within yourself. And so you have to live with that.
A question about it too, and being transgender and going from a male to a female. And it looks like Caitlyn may be dating. She did say in the article that came out that if Bruce's wife, Kris Jenner, would have accepted her as she was, they'd still be together. Is she now considered a lesbian? I'm trying to figure that out. And are there anybody who transition and then date the opposite sex?
Well, if we had hours, but again, sexual orientation is so separate from gender identity.
That's what I don't understand. Can you explain that to me? Because I don't understand that.
Okay, so sexual orientation is who you love, and gender identity is who you are. Okay. So they're completely separate. And just because you might have been married in a male-female relationship, when the male then transitions to female, you would think maybe they would stay with a female, but a lot of times they're attracted to men. So it switches.
But other times they're not. So
right.
I think
it's case by case.
Right. You have the ability to relook at your sexual orientation when you transition your gender. And for some people, they keep the same orientation. So if they were attracted to women, they're going to still be attracted to women. If they were attracted to men, they'll still be attracted to men. Others may also have been hiding their sexual orientation prior to their transition. So they may change their sexual orientation because they may, as a male, feel it was important to marry a woman because they needed, that's part of hiding who they were.
Right.
And they maybe really were attracted as a female to men, but they don't express that until after they have their gender change.
You know, it's all making my head spin, but you are listening to Gervie's Law. This isn't a sexual orientation radio show. This is the show about law and life. Talk Radio 790 KABC. If you want to call us and talk about transgenders, it's 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222. Diane, let's talk about the legal issues. What legal issues are there relating to transgender issues?
Well, I mean, the biggest one is workplace discrimination, and California is a better state to be in than many others regarding that. But even though there's laws protecting gender expression in the workplace, I think there's still a lot of workplace discrimination. Casey and I were talking about that recently, that she's seeing less discrimination in her office than what I've seen in working with transgender clients over the last 30 years. I had a lot of clients 10, 20, 30 years ago who worked in aerospace, and when they changed their gender from male to female, they lost their jobs.
You know, Diane, that's something that's in my wheelhouse because, of course, I do workers' compensation law, and we actually represent transgenders. It can be a horrible, horrible experience at work. One in particular that I'm thinking of is a teacher with LAUSD. She's a woman, and the assistant principal has made fun of her ever since, you know, she's been a woman for some time now, but the assistant principal at the school cannot handle it. She said things like, when this woman dressed up for Halloween as a cheerleader, the assistant principal said, are you going to the drag parade in West Hollywood? She gets discriminated against every day. The kids in the school make fun of her, and they say things about her. It has caused her a complete mental breakdown because she got to a place where she was very comfortable with who she is and what her identity is, and she's just trying to work as a teacher, and she's a fantastic teacher. Now she's out on workers' compensation because of all of the harassment and discrimination, and it's really quite sad. But we do represent in workers' compensation people who are harmed at work because they are transgender.
Okay, first of all, being switching from a male to female or female to male and then going to work at a school, kids are cruel. Kids are going to say things. Kids are going to tease you. I mean, I carry around a picture because people always say, you know, oh, yeah, right. You're pretty girls always say they looked ugly, blah, blah, blah. I prayed to God every night that I would be pretty. I prayed to God because I was teased so mercilessly. I had a little mustache.
So is this proof?
No,
let me tell you something. There is a God?
No,
then?
I'm telling you, I did, because I would cry every night from being teased so badly. I had like buck teeth. I had glasses. I had very frizzy hair. Okay. I was not a transgender, and I got teased so bad they had to move me out of school.
But is that a psychological issue that you had with your identity?
It became a psychological issue, and I was... Hold on, let me finish.
Wait a second.
No, I'm not finished. I'm saying, if you are transgender doing that, kids are going to be ruthless and horrible and mean. Not just to an ugly person, but somebody who's transgender.
I get offended when you say an ugly person. Why can't people be comfortable in their own skin, however they look?
I wish they could.
Why couldn't you be comfortable with who you were, even if you were a buck teeth, ugly child?
And even the teacher called me a little boy on the first day of school. It was horrible. I was in therapy since I was eight. I'm just saying, to do that, to me, that person has to think, maybe I should get another job or go with older kids.
All right. We have an expert on our panel, Diane Goodman. She's an attorney. She deals with these issues. We're going to leave the psychology issues. We also have Casey Weissman. Maybe Casey wants to talk to Carrie after the show, but Diane, please.
I'm okay now. I've had 20-something years of therapy.
Please, Diane, continue with the legal issues here.
So I think you have the workplace issues. Years ago, you had issues of doctors making transgender people get divorced in order to do a sex change. We don't have that anymore. I think things legally have improved dramatically. California requires for a gender change on a birth certificate that the person have what's called clinically appropriate treatment. It doesn't require any specific sex reassignment surgery. So I think we've made progress on that, of what's required to change your gender. If you live in California or were born in California, you can get a gender change court order here.
That makes a lot of sense, and you make some good points. So even the awareness alone has changed the laws and is creating a more positive effect for people who are transgenders. Sel Marie from Orange County. Sel Marie, how are you?
I'm doing great.
What kind of name is Sel Marie, by the way?
It's Sel Marie. It's like a family name. It's a combination of a couple of names. So my mom was creative when I was a child. So
very creative. What's going on today?
Okay, my question is, how do we know that this gender reassignment surgery is going to fix the depression and the possible suicide thoughts? How do we know that this is a solution? How do we don't? Is there any information that we know that maybe Shiloh had some issues from her past, from her childhood? Maybe she's bipolar. How do we know that this surgery is going to correct the problem and cause her and have, lead her to a healthier, happier life? We don't know that.
Selmarie, you are asking questions that a lot of people are thinking about right now. So I appreciate that, because these are very important questions, and you are not the only one who are thinking about these questions. I'm going to ask Casey to respond to your question.
Yeah, it doesn't fix everything. I mean, the surgery is not going to, if you have issues, you're going to have issues after the surgery as well. It is not like this.
It isn't a guaranteed life or death changing surgery. It could be that there's a combination of issues that cause her to feel the way she does. It could be it could be even like someone who is extremely obese in their life and so obese that they want to kill themselves, that they're so depressed that we pay for their the bypass surgery for them? Or do we offer counseling and, awareness of who you are and loving who you are? I don't know. Is there going to be more expenses in the long run for further counseling after the reassignment surgery?
Casey?
I wonder.
Are we talking about the prisoner?
Yes.
Now?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, again, the prisoner obviously needs to have a lot of, hopefully counseling as well, because, again, it doesn't fix it. There's too many questions here.
Right.
But it's not going to fix everything, but it's going to help make her feel more comfortable in her body so she can live as female. But that doesn't fix every other issue she's ever had in her entire life.
Diane would probably agree with me, especially in law. There are no certainties. I'm in depositions all the time, and a really bad attorney says, is it possible, to a doctor? And the doctor says, well, anything is possible for the most part. So, Diane, just quickly before we go to the break, what is your response to Selmarie? And Selmarie, thanks for calling. We appreciate the call.
Well, I think our prisons are so filled with the mentally ill, and the more we can reduce the stresses on those people, the more it makes the prison system run better and cost less. And so from a cost analysis, I think it makes sense to have prisoners have mental health treatment, and whether that includes gender reassignment surgery as necessary, then if that makes for a better functioning prisoner, it makes for a better functioning environment, which then saves us taxpayers money.
Good answer. We are up against the clock for another break. Thanks for calling, Selmarie. If you want to call, it's 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. You're listening to Gervie's Law. We have one more segment. We will be right back.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
We are back. Thanks, Colin. This has been really an enlightening show. A lot of people are calling in. It's a controversial issue. We're talking about transgenders and legal issues. We've been talking about Caitlyn Jenner and others. Steve from Long Beach, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hi there. In listening to your program, it reminded me, I think just in the last week or two, I learned that in the state of Oregon, they passed a law saying that minors can have their reassignment surgery without their parents' consent. And I'm wondering what your panel thinks of that.
That's a great question. Diane?
We actually have a code section in California in the family code that a child over 15 can obtain medical treatment without parental consent. It requires them to be living away from their parents and managing their own affairs. So we have a lot of kids, unfortunately, who are transgender, who are on the streets and who have been pushed away by their parents, and those children can obtain their own medical treatment if they don't have parents, that if they're not living with their parents.
Casey, so is it really easy to be able to get the surgery and to make the transition?
No, and actually the case that Diane was talking about is that would be more a clinic setting that probably would see a child like that. I see people that either pay out of pocket or I don't take insurance, so it's not easy. Sometimes clients call us gatekeepers, but to have surgery, you need two letters from two master level or higher, you know, meaning that they've spent time with you. And so it's not just something that we write lightly. I don't write a template. I have spent time with the individual over a period of time.
Do you have any legal liability for either, I know you're not a doctor, but not malpractice issues, but is there any legal liability if someone kills themselves?
Well, I think they would go after my license. Yeah, so I mean, I think it is a malpractice.
Diane, how does that work for people who are working with the transgender community?
From a legal perspective?
Yes.
You know, I think they'd need to show that the care given by that medical practitioner was outside the medical norm, and they'd need another medical practitioner to say that. And I think you're more likely to see that with a doctor who did the intersex surgery, for example, or a doctor who's denying a transgender or botches some sort of sex reassignment surgery than you are for someone who allows it.
Now, what about people who've had the surgery and they feel like they did the wrong thing and they want to go back?
Well, it's not happened in my practice, but certainly I've heard stories about it. And yeah. I do wonder about how much counseling they did get prior to having the surgery.
And as far as we know, Caitlyn Jenner has her show now. She hasn't shown any regrets at this point. Carrie?
Well, I don't know. I don't think she's had her surgery.
I don't believe she's had. She's had a lot of facial and others, but
yes.
she has not had gender reassignment surgery.
And if she has, she's keeping it under wraps.
Under her clothes anyway.
Yeah.
Diane, what are some of the financial implications on the government and tax implications of transgender?
There's a tax code, a tax decision that said that all surgeries, including the cosmetic surgery for gender change, is medically necessary and therefore tax deductible. That also means in a divorce, if those procedures were done during the marriage, that would be a community debt.
It's tax deductible?
Correct, as a medical treatment.
Wow, for all of you out there that are considering this, this is something that you should think about. It's tax deductible.
Well, you have to, Alan. You have to meet the medical, I think, 6 or 10% limit of your income has to be over that to be deductible, but...
How much is it? How much is that? $100,000? $200,000?
For which surgery?
I know that going from a woman to a man is more expensive because they have to build the entire unit.
Well, again, it depends if you do it in this country or in other countries.
Right.
If you do it in Thailand, obviously it's less expensive. But I don't want to quote prices because everyone does it differently,
Of course. But speaking of countries, how does this affect anyone who is trying to travel from country to country with respect to a male or female visa, passport, how people recognize it in different countries?
Well, I think that if your appearance matches your gender on your travel documents, your birth certificate or your visa, it makes it easier to travel and you're not going to get asked questions. If you're gender variant and your how you look doesn't match what's on the paperwork, you may get more questions going through immigration in other countries. But the same thing would happen with someone who is gay or just someone who chooses to dress in an effeminate if they're male or a masculine if they're female manner going anywhere. You're going to maybe get a second look because your paperwork doesn't match the gender you're expressing that we're stereotyped to believe is that gender.
How about marriage? What are the issues that transgenders deal with marriage or divorce?
Well, I think today it's more of dealing with psychological issues of how your spouse accepts your gender change. I've had a lot of clients who married someone knowing that person was transgender and had not yet transitioned. Prior to having same-sex marriage, everyone in the United States, it was an issue because, for instance, when someone died, the spouse would say, in a divorce, we had the Florida case, I didn't know he was transgender, therefore he's not the parent of the children because he's not really a he's a she, and that makes our marriage illegal.
Wow.
A well-known Florida case.
Yeah. And the kids are then taken away?
Correct.
Oh, that's awful.
What happened in that case?
Dr. Phil actually mediated a settlement.
Dr. Phil. Well, there you go. There's some credibility there. I'm saying that for a reason. If people are offended by what I just said, well, too bad. The fact of the matter is, Diane Goodman is a professional mediator. She's a lawyer. She has been doing this for many, many years. She's an expert in family law. She is the person to be mediating this, not Dr. Phil. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Diane. Well, I want to hear.
At least there was a settlement. Did he get to see, or she got to see his kids again?
Yes.
That's the only thing that counts.
You know, and then there's been estate cases where someone, you know, the children maybe of the decedent said that, well, the surviving spouse is transgender and therefore they weren't legally married, because other states prior to same-sex marriage only recognized your birth gender and didn't recognize gender changes, even if you had a legal gender change. Now with same-sex marriage everywhere, that shouldn't be an issue anymore.
You know, on Gervie's Law, I've always asked questions that I believe are germane to all of our listeners. This is going to be the rare instance that I am just asking a question for myself. It's just a selfish question. It has nothing to do with anyone who's listening. So if you're listening, I don't really care if you like this question or not. But this is the question, Diane. I want to know if, under these circumstances, someone finds out in a marriage that the spouse is actually identifying themselves as the opposite sex, they accept it and they continue with the marriage as the person goes through a transition with gender.
I've had clients who have done that. I've had friends who have been married to people who have done that.
There have been documentaries about it.
Yeah, it's not uncommon, and I think
I want an example. Give me an example.
A woman meets a man, and during their dating, he says, I'm transgender. I haven't had the ability to transition yet. And she says, that's fine. They get married. They have children.
I don't like that example.
And then he transitions.
I want to hear about someone who's lived with someone for 20 years. Maybe it's Caitlyn Jenner. Maybe it's Bruce Jenner, whatever you want to call them. I want to hear about someone who has kids with them. Then they make the move and they tell them, you know, Casey has talked about how people keep this a secret and it's very difficult. I want to hear someone who comes out with it and the spouse says, oh, that's fine, no problem with me.
I've seen that as well, and I've seen that when they've waited until the children were adults because they didn't want to traumatize the children when they were younger, and I think that's a lot of Casey's clients, is they transition after their children are adults. Young people today are way more accepting than older people. They're accepting of sexual orientation differences, gender differences, racial differences. They're much more accepting in general. And so most of them are more accepting of that parent having the transition. The spouse may have a hard time.
Right. But what I was going to say, and it's to your point, Ellen, is that most couples will not stay together. That unfortunately, we try. And I do a lot of couples counseling with the spouse. And it's getting better as we're getting, you know, more into this. But for the most part, the spouses will say, I did not sign up for this. You know, that I married a man.
Right.
And as you're transitioning, they can't get behind either the idea that their husband is feminizing before their eyes.
Yes.
Or that they're going to have to be lesbian identified. And that will freak out a lot of the spouses, unfortunately. And that's when we have to talk about gender identity and sexual orientation.
And I think that is a common thought that goes through a lot of people who are in this situation. If you want to talk to someone about what you're going through, her name is Casey Weitzman. She is the president of Gender Wellness of Los Angeles. Her phone number is 310-478-0411. 310-478-0411. She's a therapist. And, of course, there's Diane Goodman. She does all kinds of family law. We appreciate Diane being on the show. She is with the Law and Mediation Office of Diane M. Goodman. GoodmanMediation.com or 818-386-2889. 818-386-2889. I want to thank both of you. This has been stimulating talk radio. Carrie, as usual, thank you.
And I'll tell you why I'm laughing. It's been great, Alan. Thank you so much. Thank you both so much.
I will see you, Carrie.